Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Some of you have been studying the Bible for years. Some of you have been studying the Bible for shorter periods of time. Let me encourage you to spend a little time just getting familiar with the Bible. You know that it was written over a long period of time by many different authors, but it has ultimately, although it's 66 books of the Bible, it is one book and ultimately has one author, and that is God. This is His Word, and that's why we study it. The Old Testament points to Jesus. Everything in it, all the history, all the poetry, all the prophecies, pointing to Jesus. And then the New Testament tells us in the first four books of the New Testament, in the Gospels, about what Jesus did when he came here. And one of those Gospels was written by a man named Luke. Luke was a physician, and he traveled extensively with the Apostle Paul, who was another amazing story. Paul was an opponent of the spread of the gospel, and we'll read about that in the book of Acts as we study through it. But Luke became a traveling companion to Paul and records for us both the gospel of Luke, which is the third gospel, and also this book of Acts. So in these opening verses we're going to read, he's going to reference his earlier writing, which is the book of Luke. And again, the book of Luke is one of the four gospels, and has many wonderful details in it that are only found in Luke, because Luke was not only a physician, but he was a careful historian, and he went back and deliberately wrote a very careful history. But all of the gospels are inspired by the Lord, and all of them are focused on Jesus. Now, in Acts chapter 1, this is God's word. "I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, 'You have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' After he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven. And then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they arrived, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all were continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Now again, Luke is writing this account of what happened after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. He's writing and he's carefully going to lay out the expansion of the early church, the way that the church began to grow as the gospel spread and lives were changed. Realize that whereas some people have the mistaken notion that you can be born a Christian, Jesus said, you must be born again. It's not something that you get because your parents were Christian and therefore you're a Christian. That's the way it is in many people's minds around the world. And sadly, it's one of the barriers to the gospel. There are a lot of people who don't realize that they need to be saved because they think, well, I've been a Christian all my life. Well, if you think you've been a Christian all your life, you need to get saved, okay? But there are also people who are put off from the good news of Jesus Christ, resistant to the Christian faith because of the behavior that they've seen in people who are not Christians, but who may think they're Christians and who definitely are perceived by others as Christians. A Christian is someone who has received new life in Christ Jesus. A Christian is someone who has been born again. And so in this book, we have record of changed lives one after another as the gospel spreads throughout the world. I want you not just to look at this as history, which it is. This is absolutely accurate, truthful history. But it's much more than that. It's a picture giving the inside scoop, if you will, on the most important changes that have happened on this planet. Because this is about the spread of God's kingdom. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But what does that involve? It involves people coming into a relationship with Jesus as their king. I mentioned you must be born again. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 3. But what's the purpose of being born again? Jesus said, you must be born again or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now look again at these opening verses. I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. What was he talking to them about? The kingdom of God. Now, don't lose your place in Acts 1, but go all the way to the end of the book of Acts. Acts 28, beginning in verse 30. Paul stayed 2 whole years in his own rented house, and he welcomed all who visited him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord, Jesus Christ, with all boldness and without hindrance. The start of the book of Acts is about Jesus teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God. The end of the book of Acts is about the Apostle Paul carrying on that ministry and teaching people about the kingdom of God. And everything in between there is about the spread of the truth concerning the kingdom of God. Now, I want to ask you a question. Where is the omnipresent God? Where is he? Well, he's everywhere. That's what omnipresent means. But God manifests his presence in special ways and special times. And one of those that the Bible speaks of is whenever two or more are gathered in his name. When we come together as the body of Christ, God shows up in a special way. Now, if I go to the highest mountain trying to get away from God, it's not going to work. God's going to be there. If I go down to the depths of the sea, the psalmist says, he's going to be there. If I went to the grave, I still can't get away from God. But God's presence is manifested in a special way through God's people. Well, likewise, we pray, as Jesus taught us, for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So is that saying that, boy, there's a lot of stuff down here that God just can't control. He hasn't gotten it under control yet. No, God is sovereignly working his purpose out. God is working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. That does not mean that God is the author of sin. It means that God has chosen in his sovereign will to allow people to make choices, but God is still in charge. And yet, if God was causing everything that happens, he would be the author of sin, and we wouldn't need to pray for his will to be done. In other words, God is totally sovereign. And anytime he wants, he can intervene any way he wants and do anything he chooses, including turning water to wine, parting the Red Sea, causing a donkey to talk, causing a bush to burn and not be consumed. God's totally in charge. God can do anything except violate his own nature. But guess what? God has chosen to work through a process and to work through people in order to accomplish his plan. And God wants us to be his change agents in this world, bringing the kingdom, manifesting what it looks like for God to be in charge. That is for his glory. That is the way he's chosen to work. Now, Jesus, having died on the cross, rose from the dead, and then during a period of 40 days, he manifested the fact that he was alive to his followers on separate occasions, on numerous occasions, to individuals and to a group. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 500 of the brothers at one time. Okay? So Jesus demonstrated the fact beyond doubt that he is alive. And during this time, he taught them about the kingdom of God. Now, while he was with them, verse 4, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. So when they had come together, this is one of my comforting verses here. When they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? What's Jesus teaching them about? The kingdom of God. Jesus is teaching them about the kingdom of God. What are they still looking for? the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. Lord, we were hoping that you were the Messiah and that you were going to overthrow the Roman government and restore the glory of Israel's kingdom. And, you know, a lot of people were disappointed that you didn't do that. Now we understand from the scriptures, you've explained to us that Messiah, who was prophesied, would have to die, pay for the sins of the world. Thank you so much for doing that. We're glad you're back. We're glad you rose from the dead. This is really wonderful. Now can we have what we want? Okay? I mean, we appreciate Jesus, what you did, but are you now restoring the kingdom to Israel? Do we get it now? Now, the reason I say that's one of my comfort verses is because it reminds me that I'm not the only one who sometimes is slow on the uptake, okay? Jesus' disciples, with whom he'd spent more than 3 years investing in them, living with them, they didn't just come once a week for classes. They didn't just come 5 days a week for classes. They lived with Jesus. They heard him. They saw the miracles. And after all of that, they still are waiting for Jesus to do what they want. The kingdom of God is not about us being free to do what we want. The kingdom of God is about us being empowered to do what he wants. When Paul is teaching them about the kingdom at the end of the book of Acts, it says he was teaching them about the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the kingdom of God is? It's not geography. It's not political. The kingdom of God is a relationship with him as our king. That's why the lordship of Jesus Christ is not something that's optional. It's not something for those who'd like to go deeper. I grew up in a culture where many people encouraged folks simply believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins and that he is God. And if you'll believe those things, then that's it. You're in. You're good. You're forgiven. Just believe that Jesus died for you and just ask him, forgive my sins. And if you'll do that, you've got new life. And people would do that. It was like, you're telling me this doesn't cost anything? No, no, Jesus paid it all. Okay, so what am I doing here? You're just receiving the gift of eternal life. God wants to give you this gift because he loves you so much. And you just receive that gift and you're good. Well, yeah, I'll take forgiveness and eternal life, sure. Yeah, sign me up. Well, then they start to feel like, nothing happened. My life hasn't really changed. I'm still chasing after stuff that doesn't satisfy. What happened? Oh, well, have you heard of the Spirit-filled life? Because if you would want to go deeper with God, if you'd like to have a more purposeful Christian life, what you need to do is receive Jesus as your Lord. Well, that means I have to do what he says? Yeah, you do. I mean, just trust. He knows best, and so just trust him and do what he says. Well, I don't know that I'm ready for that. I don't know that I really want to receive another boss. I was hoping God would help me do what I want to do. Okay? My kingdom come, my will be done on earth, as it isn't anywhere so far. I'm telling you, I grew up surrounded by that. And that was very much the mindset. Okay? A.W. Tozer wrote a book about that a long time ago, and you kids don't know who A.W. Tozer is, and hopefully when you get older, you'll read some of his books. But I like the title of the book. It's called I Call It Heresy. And what he does is to demonstrate that two-step salvation is nowhere in the scriptures. It's not the gospel. Jesus invites people to receive him. And who is he? He is Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And the purpose of being born again is in order to enter into a relationship with him as king, as ruler, as owner, as boss. So, the disciples, having been taught about the kingdom of God, want to know, when are we going to get our kingdom? Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he said to them, stupid! No, that's not what he said. What did he say? He said, it's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What's he doing? He's just, like you would with a preschooler, redirecting them back to what they were told. Okay? He's already told them, stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes on you. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, for some people, baptism is a few drops, okay? But to the Jews, it was immersion. When Jesus said, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit, he's talking about being immersed in God. We do not need Pentecost to happen again, just like we don't need Calvary to happen again. But just as we should receive what happened at Calvary by faith, we should receive what happened at Pentecost by faith. Trusting in God to not only cleanse us from sin, but trusting in God to fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we are empowered by him to be his witnesses. That's the purpose. The number one thing that characterizes a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit is that people will be able to see and hear from that person's life the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And I'm here to tell you, that is still happening today. The gospel is going forth all over the world. All over the world, people are coming to faith. You know where one of the most difficult places to be a Christian is right now? One of the most difficult places where there's intense persecution of Christians, Iran. Do you know where the church is growing faster than just about anywhere on earth right now? Iran. You know why? Because God has chosen at this time to do a miraculous work in the hearts of the Iranian people. And God's word is spreading, and people are yielding their lives to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You and I need to understand, the book of Acts is not just about the Acts of the apostles. It is about the Acts of God working through his people, through the apostles and through others. As we read this book together in the coming weeks, we're going to see God doing some amazing things in history. But my prayer is that we're going to see God continuing to do some amazing things in our lives as we yield our lives to him and say, Lord, have your way. Do what you want with my life.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.